We're going to put it to the test today.
Okay.
That's what we're doing.
What's up?
It's Anna and Raven. Yesterday, right around this time when we started the show, we were talking about the fact that my daughter and back-to-school lunches is awful.
Sure.
Because she's already started complaining. It's been one full day at school. One.
Doesn't like the turkey sandwich.
No. So, she made me buy her thermos. Because she insisted that all the kids at school have these thermoses as if they were construction workers.
I didn't know that thermoses were back. I gotta be honest with you. I had no idea.
Huge, they're back.
Yeah.
But I got this thing, and it's like a legit thermos.
Yeah, but you told me something crazy yesterday, and that was you were putting chicken nuggets in the thermos.
Yeah, so she said that kids put things like chicken nuggets and, like, quesadillas. And
what?
Yeah.
How do you shove a quesadilla in a thermos?
It's like, remember when we used to go to the bank back in the day where they used, like,
you put
the
in the slot.
You put it in the tube, and then it's
right.
Right. It sucks right. It up. It's exactly like that.
Who knew? The age of discovery. The thermos is back, and it has modified itself. I love it.
Oh, so I have brought in the brand new thermos that I bought Hayden.
Look at that thing.
Today she'll have yogurt.
Okay, right.
All right.
Sorry, Hayden.
Right.
Today you're screwed because today we needed this for radio.
And what we're going to do is she insists that all the kids say it works. And I go, this thing is going to keep things hot for 7 hours.
I always felt like coffee, like it stays hot in there for like maybe an hour,
and
right? Or
2 hours
or warm,
right?
Or something like that. When I see a construction guy with a thermos, I'm thinking to myself, he's drinking cold coffee at lunch.
Yep. So what I did is at 4 o'clock this morning, like I normally would do,
yeah,
I made her favorite.
Okay. Which is what?
Cup of soup, ramen noodles.
Perfect.
Ramen noodles right in here.
Highly nutritious.
Yep. Right. And I put it in this thermos. And throughout the morning, we're going to monitor how hot this thing actually stays.
How are we going to do that? Did you bring a thermos, a thermometer like that?
Yeah, my finger. Yep.
Oh. Right. Good.
Stick my finger right in there to see how hot it is.
Okay.
And then, right before the show ends, you're going to eat the ramen noodles.
What makes you think that I want something that you stuck your finger in 5 times randomly throughout the morning? I came in here and I disinfected the entire studio.
We have so much Purell here. It's fine. I'll Purell my finger before I stick it in.
Before every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Before every time I stick my finger in, I will do that.
I'm not sure I'm supposed to eat it, but okay.
Okay. And then at the end of the show, you will taste the ramen noodles and see if this thermos actually lived up to the expectations.
What if you use, like, your knuckle after you clean your fingers? Because you could have something under your nail or something like that.
Okay, fine. I'll use my knuckle. All right. Will that make you feel better?
It will.
All right.
A little bit. Maybe you tap a little out on your wrist like you check a baby bottle.
All right. So we'll keep monitoring you throughout the show on how hot the thermos is working and whether it's actually working for school lunches. And
perfect.
Then Raven will eat it with my fingers in it.
Yeah, bringing science to radio.
Yep.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you do when you open your eyes in the morning? Like your morning routine. First thing you do, Raven?
Work day or weekend?
Work day.
Work day, first thing I do is I grab my phone so I can shut off the alarm.
Okay.
If I don't shut off the alarm, then it'll be chaos in the room. My wife will roll over angrily. The dog will wake up. The other one will shake his ears out in the crate.
Yeah.
And you can hear all this stuff, and then it would just be chaos.
It's Hannah and Raven. My usual routine this morning was completely thrown off because of one reason.
What happened?
My dog. So you said how, like, you know, the dog goes crazy, all that kind of stuff. You have to shut off your alarm.
Sure.
The second my alarm goes off, I do the same thing as you. I reach over to shut it off. Now, beyond that, the second I do that, my dog Lila is already at my face with her face in my face.
Right.
And it's time, and she starts crying. As if she's
going to the bathroom.
Right. She's been waiting, like, I don't know, 10 hours for me to let her out, even though I let her out the night before. Right. So we do the same thing. We go downstairs. I let her out. I get her food. She comes in. She eats her food. I let her out a second time. There's a whole thing. But today, the alarm goes off. And I roll over, waiting for her tongue to be in my face.
Right.
And she's not there.
What?
And if you've had the same routine for 3 years.
Sure.
It's jarring. So I open my eyes. So I go, Lila? And she's not there.
Right.
So I look over at her bed because her bed is in the corner of the room. She's not in her bed.
You got to feel uneasy at this point, right? Where is the dog? Is the dog with the baby? Is the dog downstairs? Where's the dog?
Exactly. So I jump up and I go, well, maybe she went to go sleep with the girls. Because sometimes, like, you know, she'll wander around the house at night.
Sure.
I go, I look in my older daughter's room. She's not there. I barricade the baby's room because she'll go in the baby's room. She pushes the door open.
Sure.
So I barricade it so she can't get in there at night. So obviously she's not there. I go downstairs. She's not in her downstairs. She's nowhere. So now I convince myself that my husband had gone out the night before, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I convinced myself he let her out and locked her out and forgot.
Never let her back in.
Keep in mind,
I wanted the other one.
I wanted the husky. No, he wanted the boxer rescue.
I wanted the boxer.
Right, whatever. It didn't happen. Never in the 3 years we've had Lila has my husband ever done this, but I've convinced myself that this is what happened last night.
He's out to do it. He's out to get her. Right.
So I go and I open the door. I'm like, Lila, Lila, mommy's looking for you. And nothing. So now I'm in a panic because I'm like, where the heck is my dog?
Right.
You know? And it's getting late and I have to go to work. So I go back upstairs and she's in bed sleeping like none of it happened. Right?
Well, she didn't know that you were freaked out. She wondered where you were. She probably figured you were running late, or how did you slip by her?
I don't know what happened, but it threw off my entire morning. And I think that our morning routines are so set in stone that the second something different happens, we all go into panic mode.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, right after I turn off my phone, I then stand up, change my underwear. If I didn't change my underwear, it would put my day off on a different foot.
You change your underwear before you brush your teeth?
Uh-huh.
Before you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
But what if it gets dirty? Don't you have to change it again?
How would it get dirty?
I don't know, but don't you feel like you should go potty change your moutons? What?
Wait a minute. You get your underwear dirty every time you go to the bathroom?
No,
but
if you're going to go to the bathroom, wouldn't you go to the bathroom, take off your underwear, and then put on your new underwear?
No, nobody gets naked to go to the bathroom. It's weird.
Oh, no, I go to the bathroom, and then I change my underwear. I think it's weird you do it the other way.
I mean, this is a discovery of you I did not anticipate today.
Odd. 1-800-330-9999. The minute you get out of bed, you shut that alarm off. What is the first thing you do? It's the first thing you do when you get out of bed. Shut off the alarm. Your feet hit the ground. What do you do? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Whenever your schedule gets thrown off just a little bit, it throws off your whole day. This morning, I couldn't find my dog. My dog wakes me up every morning. She was nowhere to be found.
It's a good thing you made it here to work.
I don't even know where she went. All of a sudden, she just appeared out of nowhere. It was very strange, but it threw me off because the first thing I do in the morning is let her out. What do you do? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Turn off the alarm and then turn on Channel 3 News.
What is the big thing that you're after with the news?
First thing.
Yeah, weather. That's what I thought. I was like, nobody actually wants to know the news. Right. You know, the news is all the same. The weather is what we care about.
It's usually sad news.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Yeah, the weather is what I need to start my work, so that's what I look for.
And Raven, what's the very first thing you do when you wake up?
First thing I do before I even go to the bathroom, I head downstairs and I turn my coffee pot on. Can't start without that.
That's one of the first things I do, too.
I don't think I could make it downstairs without going to the bathroom first. I really don't.
No?
I take a bunch of magnesium. Maybe that speeds things up.
Ooh. There's some mornings where my husband preps everything for me where all I have to do is hit the button. And those mornings, I love him so much. And then there's other mornings when I go down there and I have to do everything from scratch, like measure out the coffee.
And you couldn't hate him more.
And I'm like, oh, you were so busy last night. You couldn't figure it out for me. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the first thing you do when you open your eyes in the morning?
I turn on my meditation app and I sit up and I do 10 minutes of mindful meditation. It gets my day started just perfectly.
See, this is the kind of person I wanted to be when
me
I grew
too,
up.
Me too.
This is the kind of person I wanted to be. And now instead, I'm this person. And you and I are here together. And this is who we are every morning. And this person is doing this. So even in our own listening range, this is how they're living their life.
You know, I've heard so many people talk about the benefits of this. And every single time I do it, I can't do it. Do you find it difficult to just zone everything out and just do the meditation in the morning?
Well, I will tell you, it is a practice and you do have to work up to it. So, you know, if you can get a minute or two in, don't set unrealistic goals. And then you just start building. And before you know it, you're sitting at 10 minutes. And I'm telling you, it will start your day off absolutely centered, focused, and able to handle whatever the world's going to throw at you that day.
My fear is
the world's throwing a lot at us.
Right. I'm just afraid I'm going to fall back asleep.
Well,
you know?
Of course. I mean, with meditation, that's the goal for me. That's like my higher enlightenment. But
just to go to sleep?
I mean, we could have been this. Mm. I mean, instead, we were born type A.
I don't understand.
We could have just been relaxed, cool people. I never wanted to be a hippie so much in my life.
All those famous people too, Steve Jobs and all of them say that meditation is the best way to start your day.
Yeah, but I mean, they live in future houses, have a personal chef, a maid, you know, a nanny, all that different stuff. This is a regular person.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the first thing you do when you open your eyes in the morning? You get out of bed and what do?
Roll out of my bed. I drop right to the floor and I do 20 push-ups to start my day.
Oh, one of those guys.
Yeah.
One of those guys, huh?
Are you really fit?
I'm trying to get there.
Right.
Yeah, the guy who wakes up and does 20 push-ups before he even does anything else always thinks that he's trying to get fit. He's trying to get better. He's on his way working to somewhere. Meanwhile, every guy in the office hates him because he looks 15 years younger than the rest of them.
It takes a lot of discipline, though, to roll out of bed and to immediately go into exercise. But I can see the appeal of just getting it over with. Like, at least you started the day being somewhat active, right? Huh?
Exactly. Yeah, that's my goal.
Feels like a serial killer habit. It's like, just me.
It's like Cobra Kai. Yeah. Johnny rolls out of bed, and what do they all do? 20 sit-ups.
He grabs a Coors Banquet beer.
Right, no, but then
what does he tell the other people he does?
No, but first he does the sit-ups.
I don't remember. I thought the beer was first.
And you weren't paying attention.
Not every episode.
Yep.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you see that an area got hit by an earthquake and your first reaction is, East Coasters acting like it's their first earthquake, punks, these wusses. That's all I need to know about you.
Have you ever been in an earthquake?
No. So, no.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah,
actually.
So last night, Central Jersey got hit with a 3.1 magnitude earthquake. But, you know, everybody...
Hit with a 3.1.
Yeah.
As somebody who's been in an earthquake, a 3.1 you barely feel, by the way.
Oh, my God, you're one of these people.
No, I'm just saying... I'm just saying, if you've been on the West Coast, all right, like a 4 point something is something that you experience at a stoplight.
Uh-huh.
And you only know that it's happening because you feel the little shake and you watch the lights go back and forth. I mean, I guess in Jersey, if you haven't felt one in forever, a 3.1 could feel like something.
I've never been in an earthquake. I'm sorry I'm offending you with that. But you're one of these people that do this.
No, you probably haven't. You didn't even know it.
But I feel like this is all the same thing. When we got hit with all these tornadoes over the last couple months,
sure.
Same thing. Everybody in the Midwest. These East Coasters acting like they never got hit with a tornado.
Yeah,
no,
they want to measure it. Right. I mean, of course they want to measure it. Right. You get an F1, maybe. Yeah.
I think it's so corny. You want to play that game? I'll play that game all day with what Northeast has to deal with over you guys.
Regionally, everybody has their own things.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to get into that game.
No, I don't, actually.
Because then you'll sound just like them to
right.
them.
And right? I don't want to stoop to their level like you just did.
I'm just saying.
I don't understand why people do that.
Listen, the first time I was in an earthquake, man, I was terrified.
Of course
there's a reason because I was on the third story of a building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything is concrete slab where I used to live in the valley in Los Angeles. And it was near where the Northridge earthquake had happened. Now, that was like a 7.1. Things fell down. People died. Things burned. It was bad,
yeah.
Right? And one building, like an apartment building, would be leveled. And next to it would be an apartment building that had a bunch of cracks in it, but was still open, and that's where people lived. And I lived in one of those said buildings. And when there would be a little rocker, that thing would dance. It would straight up dance. It would move like a foot in the air. And that was pretty terrifying, man. You know what they do when the buildings fall down in Los Angeles, like apartment buildings and stuff like that?
Clean them up.
Nothing.
They just let them be?
They leave them there.
Until
somebody buys the block and fixes the whole thing up, they just leave them there. You'd see cars sticking out of the end and everything. Not cool.
That's weird.
Yeah,
you
man.
Just leave it there?
It was scary.
Oh.
I remember that, man. And I just stood in the doorway as if that would have helped me.
I mean, have some compassion, though. It's all I need to know about you. Like, people, yes, that's probably that's many people's first earthquake last night. They're scared.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I guess if you haven't felt it before.
Yep.
If you bring strangers to a party or you leave a party and you're, you know, without explanation, and then you call back and say, hey, listen, I'm just going to bring like a few friends. Is that cool? No, that's not cool. It's not.
Nope.
Especially in these times.
Right.
Especially in these times.
Your buddy did that?
I don't fault him. I get, I guess you have some plans that you had to keep up with somebody else before that, but it's a hard no. It's a hard no.
Why? Like, I think that that's such a young person thing to do is to ask to bring strangers
to a
party.
Like, I don't know who your strangers are.
Yeah.
I mean, normal times when the party's 70, 80 people, okay, maybe, and even still then, it's a bad choice
weird.
On my part.
Yeah.
But, you know, when there's 20 people and you barely made the cut, everybody, you know, is just happy to be in the cut. Don't bring, somebody that we don't know. Come on.
After I turn 22, I don't ever want strangers at my house. If I don't know you, nah, I'm good.
Right.
You don't have to come.
You know, in that same text message, you ought to be like, he's bringing ribs or
right.
he's got 7 cases of beer. You know, give some
something.
Sort of selling point to go off of. No selling point.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
This story just gets stranger and stranger every single day. It's Anna and Raven. It's a Beefalo update.
Last week at about this time, if you missed it, you learned all about this escaped beefalo in the northwest corner of Connecticut. Here's one of the members of the police department discussing what a beefalo is.
Yeah, I've kind of officially become a beefalo expert here in town. It's a cross between a bison and a beef cattle.
Yep.
And he's highly aggressive.
Highly.
That is the way that he has been described in every article that came out. He is highly aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, don't go near him. Don't approach him. Anything like that. Just call the authorities if you see him. He's been out now 3 weeks, Anna Zapp. 3 weeks roaming the jungles of this area.
But here's where the story gets,
I love it.
It gets nuts. Like, if you've never heard of him, for me, I never heard of a beefalo before this ever, obviously.
You'll never forget him now.
Never. But on top of it, he escaped his owner on the way to the slaughterhouse.
Right. And we kind of have a rule here on the show that if an animal escapes on the way to slaughter, if they, you know, remain free for a certain amount of time,
let them be free.
That's it. They get to live how they want.
Yeah.
They get to live how they want the rest of their days.
It's the Charlotte's Web's rule.
Is that what it is?
Okay. That's what it is. But the Plymouth Police Department became so invested in Buddy the Beefalo
right. That
they said this.
From what everyone says, it's a delicious tasting animal. So there's been a lot of sentiment that they want to catch the animal and make steaks and burgers.
That's terrible.
We don't want that. We don't want this for this animal. He's become kind of a legend, almost like Bigfoot. You know, have you seen the beefalo in town?
But here's the thing: is they've taken it a step further, Raven,
yeah. And
they started a GoFundMe account for Buddy the Beefalo.
Uh-huh.
That when they are able to catch this 1,000-pound animal,
at least 1,000,
they will create or send him to a animal
beefalo
sanctuary.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, you think about it. Again, he really did earn his freedom, all right? And now, thanks to the fundraising efforts of the police department, which, by the way, they exceeded their goal in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
People are behind Buddy. I'm telling you, every time the story comes on the news, my wife stands up and cheers.
Right.
Run, Buddy, run! So I want a T-shirt.
The original goal for the GoFundMe was $6,000. They met it within 24 hours. Right now, it's $7,545.
Right.
I'm looking at some of these comments. I love you, Buddy.
Right.
Live long and prosper, Buddy.
Run free.
Yeah. Bless all those who have helped this soul. Buddy deserves to be free.
Yes, he does.
But here's the big question, Raven. What do you think a beefalo sanctuary looks like?
Oh, well, you got to have the things that beefaloes really like, right? So I've been thinking about this a little bit because, of course, again, I am on Buddy's side here.
Yeah.
So I think it should be a lot like a sandals resort for people because I love sandals. Man, I had a great vacation at Sandals. So I'm thinking you need beefalo restaurants, at least like 6 of them, all right?
What do they serve there? Not other beefalo.
Well, you got to have hibachi and sushi at a couple of them. They got to have an Italian joint. I mean, usually there's a French place.
Probably vegetarian.
I'm just saying. Mm. That's up to Buddy. Buddy can do what he wants to. Again, it's his sanctuary. But I think that all those would be in a buffet that's open virtually all day.
Okay.
A spa, some sort of water access.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So he's going to have to get those hoofs done. I mean, now he's living large. Now he's relaxing, right?
Yeah, but he's very aggressive. Who's going to touch those?
Well, I've got something for that, too. Tires to run into. I feel like, you know, he probably likes football and then maybe some sort of, you know, tire exercises or something he can ram when he's mad. Maybe an old pickup truck sitting in the field or whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of into going to the Beefalo Sanctuary.
Beefalo Babes and a Beefalo Nightclub.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's got to be some action for them, for him on the Sanctuary,
of course. And Beefalo Bourbon, I'm going to guess.
And then I feel like large screen television, at least 85 inches there with Red Zone, because I suspect that he's into football.
I mean, how much time did you think about this?
Well, I spent a lot of time. I mean, I feel like if I ran free, I would want these things, too.
Okay, well, run free, Buddy, because when we get you, you're going to this weird beefalo sanctuary. It's taken every ounce of me, Raven, not to watch this so we could watch it together.
I told you that if you watched it without me, I was going to be very upset.
Okay, so this weekend, something strange happened at the U.S. Open. It's Anna and Raven. Novak Djokovic, he's ranked number one in the world. So he got mad because he was losing. He lost a point or something like that. So he hits a ball off the court and he nails a linesman right in her throat.
Now, to be fair, Anna and I know very little about tennis.
Very little.
All right, very little about tennis. But I know that this guy is on a tear. He's getting older. He's trying to make, you know, match certain records or whatever. And him and Nadal, basically well known as the best players, I believe, in the world.
And all
right?
I know is that when I go to the U.S. Open, I like to drink those drinks, the honey deuces.
Sure.
But I don't know anything that's going on, but I do enjoy those cocktails.
Right. You just clap when everybody else does.
That's it.
That's the way to follow along in tennis if you don't know what you're talking about.
So he hits this lady in the throat.
You make it sound like he turned around and throat punched a lady. From what I understand.
We don't know yet. We don't know. We see the video.
From what I understand, he hit a tennis ball in frustration, like backhanded it away from him.
Okay.
And it happened to hit somebody in the throat, which is just bad luck.
Then he got disqualified from the whole tournament, which is like a really big deal.
I mean, he's 26-0. He was undefeated going into the tournament here. So it is a big deal. I mean, he was widely expected to do well. But I guess if you hit one of the lines workers or whatever they're called, the precedent is that they would be kicked out. I just don't know whether or not it's actually viable, whether or not it was worth it this time.
Right. And he says that he is so sad and he is so embarrassed by the whole thing. But I think it's one of those moments that define you because, like, people are always going to remember, oh, the guy that hit the lady in the throat.
John McEnroe was like, this could be the thing he's known for in his career. John McEnroe, of all people, who's like, that was in. Are you serious?
Are you ready?
All right, here we go.
I have the video up.
Right. You're going to press play, and then you're going to hold it up. Right. Okay, you got the laptop held up.
Can you see?
All right, yes, I can see. Okay. Yes, press play.
All right, ready?
All right, here we go. All right, watch it.
Oh! My God!
Come on!
Oh, look at her! She fell to the ground! She's clutching her throat!
She's clutching her throat. Can you?
Oh!
Come on!
Oh, my
gosh. So now that you've seen it, do you actually think it makes sense that he was kicked out?
No. Like, he did that by accident.
I mean, it barely bounced off of her. She grabbed her throat like she was dying all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, but you don't... I mean, he's the number one tennis player in the world. Yeah, you don't know how hard that thing got hit at her throat.
I mean, I watched it. It didn't go... it's not like an ace or a serve that he hit, which is, I believe, what they call... I don't know. I mean, it didn't look like that at all. It looked like me throwing it to my pooch in the backyard here.
One more time.
But she was like, he's number one. I'm getting paid.
Ready?
One more time. Go.
Oh! Oh, my gosh. Look at her. She falls into the wall.
Oh, God. Is it wrong that I'm laughing?
I'm sorry. What is wrong with you?
I mean, come on. Paramedics and everything, that's worth it.
Raven. Okay, let's put it on the same as, like, if it's like a baseball pitcher.
Yeah.
Right? And you know they could throw those balls hard.
Right.
If they threw that at your throat.
Oh, no question. He could serve it 118 miles per hour if he wanted to, but that one looked like a lob to your kid in the backyard.
All right. The bigger question is this going to be one of those moments that defines his life? And if you're a celebrity and you make one of these faux pas, what were the biggest ones of all time? And that's coming up next with Anna and Raven.
I would be in so much trouble.
So much trouble.
So much trouble.
My kid would be in trouble.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. Northeastern has dismissed 11 first-year students for not obeying social distancing and not wearing their masks.
It was like a hotel party or something, right?
Well,
I heard.
No, what they did is they took the Westin and they made it dormitories so they can do all the social distancing.
Okay, right.
So they were hanging out at the Westin where they're living.
Right.
But they didn't have their masks on. They weren't doing the social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
So they got in trouble and they got kicked off campus. Like,
well, they
got to
have a kegger, Anna Zapp. It's college.
Right. So now.
I was being facetious.
You're right. But that, you know, it brings up one of the arguments about it. So they can go back in the spring. But
all
for
right.
this semester, they're done. They're home. But this is the kicker.
Yeah.
They don't get the semester tuition back. $36,500.
That's big money right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine trying to explain that to your parents?
Nope. My parents? Are you crazy?
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
$36,000.
Like, they'd be like, you're never going back to college. It doesn't matter if they'll have you back next semester or not.
And you got to get to work right now because you're going to pay me back.
Every single penny.
Wow.
They would lose their minds. But there's a couple arguments that come along with this. One, is Northeastern wrong for not refunding their tuition?
Yeah.
Two, are we trusting 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds with too much responsibility to obey these rules?
Okay.
You know? And three, I guess there's no three.
Yeah, you don't have a third. I don't have a third. Two is really the same. I think in the long run, they're going to end up getting the money back. Because,
you think so?
Yeah, legally, I think the parents will threaten to sue. And they, I think, you know, on top of it, you're going to see more cases like this popping up all over the place. I think I already heard one, you know, going on in New Hampshire yesterday or whatever. So, you know, basically, as a movement gains some steam, then people complain and they get it back. Or at least some sort of reduction. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, universities need the money. Don't be fooled. They want the kids in class, whether they're going to be able to do it or not. They want to get that payday going right now, so they won't want to give it up, but I think they will eventually.
Here's why I think that they should not get their money back.
Okay.
The parents.
Yes.
And the students.
Yes.
Both of them had to sign documents, COVID-19 documents. And if you're a parent and your kids are going back to school, you know about these documents, because I know I had a packet in my daughter's backpack about all these things they were supposed to do. So, granted, you want to say they're kids, but they're adults. They're 18, 19 years old.
Oh,
they're adults.
Come on. Think of yourself at 18, 19.
Oh,
all right?
No, no, no.
You can lecture Hayden, who's 11, as much as you want. But, you know, at the end of the day, kids are going to be kids. And at 18, 19, you send your kids to college so that they can make mistakes in kind of a controlled environment. You just didn't think anybody was going to bust them and then say you're still paying the bill.
Can you imagine being that kid?
Oh, my gosh.
Having to call your mom or dad and tell them that you just got kicked out of Northeastern because you didn't wear your mask. And now they're not going to pay back the $36,000 that mommy and daddy have been saving since you were literally born.
And oh, by the way, dad, I need you to come back here and pick me up.
Pick me up. I've only been here for 4 days.
That is going to be the longest car ride of your life if you live hours away.
That is the most they have ever been grounded in their lives.
I'm sure.
Have you ever been grounded before?
Oh, yeah. Dozens of times. Are you serious? Dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And I've had some doozies right there.
Huh.
I don't know about $36,000, but I think I can recall the time that I was grounded the most.
I have an interesting thing about being grounded, because I've never been grounded in my life. It's coming
what?
Up. Yeah, it's coming up next with Anna and Raven. When, ironically, one of the only really great things about growing up in an immigrant household is that my parents didn't know what being grounded meant.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there was no such thing as being grounded at my house, because they didn't know what that, like, that's,
they don't,
like,
ground people
they don't
in
know
Italy?
What that is. Yeah.
They don't ground people over there?
No, they don't know what that means.
I didn't know that. See, I learned something.
It's Anna and Raven. This comes up because Northeastern has dismissed 11 first-year students for not obeying the social distancing rules and not wearing a mask. So now they got sent home for the semester. They can come back in the spring. But the problem is that they're not getting their $36,500 back for the first half of the year.
See ya.
It's a lot of money.
University is keeping the coin.
And all I can think about is, like, if my kid called me.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't wear your mask when you signed a piece of paper saying you were going to, and now you have to come home and I'm not getting that money back. Like, they would be so grounded.
It would be my pleasure to come back to school and pick you up and drive you home under those conditions.
You wait.
You might not actually make it back to the house. I might bring a shovel with me along. Yeah.
So for me, whenever I would get in trouble when I was a kid, it was more like I would have to clean more.
Right.
You know,
you would have to do chores.
Yeah.
Which, as the oldest, you had to clean everybody's room anyways, I'm pretty sure, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I had to clean everybody's room.
Yeah.
And now then I would have to sweep and mop if I got in trouble. And it really was just a lot of yelling, to be honest. That was how I would get in trouble.
Right. All right. Okay. I mean, I've been grounded dozens of times back in my life.
What did you get grounded for, and how long were you grounded?
I think that the worst time I ever got grounded was the first time that I was able to stay home from the family, like, getaway, right? So my family would go up to, like, Maine on the shore and, you know, stay there for a week or two or whatever. And one year, as a teenager, I was finally able to talk them out of it. Of course, I want to be here for the fireworks. My friend's having a party, this, that, whatever. Of course, what I was really doing was throwing a party in our house once they left.
Mm.
And it was a crazy party. People, like, slept in the bathtub and our back deck fell apart and caught on fire.
Stop it.
I swear to God, really
Stop
happened.
It.
We still don't have a deck out back of that house right now. They're actually talking about rebuilding one this year.
So wait, how long were you grounded for?
That was July 4th weekend. They got back on like the 8th or the 9th, and I don't think I was allowed to come out again until it was like time to go school shopping.
That
so it was like a week before September or whatever at that point. I mean, I was on lockdown. But you know what?
Mm.
Looking back at this point,
Not that big a deal.
Kind of worth it.
I mean, you
kind of worth it.
Oh, you think it was worth it to burn down your deck?
Well, I feel bad about the deck as an adult because as a homeowner now, I would be, there'd be no end to my anger with that. But, you know, parents, they're designed to be patient.
Yeah, we had the wooden spoon. It was a little bit different, the wooden spoon. Yeah.
I mean, I would have had to walk away with a broken leg after the deck got burned.
Yeah, definitely.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you get to decide who's right. Seth and Lauren. Lauren, what happened?
I'm pretty ticked off because my husband decided one day randomly to just stop by a car dealership and trade in his new car for an Infinity whatever car. And they just made him a good offer. He signed. And what am I supposed to do? He didn't consult me. What if I wanted to trade my car in?
You got a new car, Seth? What's wrong with the car? First off, did you have a new car already? Or is this, you know, a car you've had for a while? Or what's the deal?
No, I mean, it's a car I've had for a while. But it was, you know, I mean, according to her, it was still new enough.
So you're still paying for it probably, right?
Still paying for it. Right. And stopped by a dealership and they had a great deal and I couldn't pass it up and I just decided to pull the trigger. It's an Infiniti Q50 and it's a sweet car and I've just been kind of wanting to treat myself, so, and it's my car, so I think I deserve it.
Did you like text her or call her at all when you were there?
Send her a selfie when you're driving home in it.
It's better to beg for permission than ask for forgiveness, or vice versa. Okay, it's better to ask for. Well, either way, I knew that if I would have called her, she would have had some reason why I shouldn't. And
Lauren, so I can figure out that this was a surprise and you weren't happy when he got home?
No, not at all. I mean, can you imagine? He got a small car. What if I wanted another SUV for the kids? Like, didn't consult me at all, nothing. His car was perfectly fine. It ran perfectly fine. He wasn't even done paying it. We don't need this extra debt. We don't need it.
Well, if you got a good deal, it's only a couple extra dollars a month, and you got a car he really likes. You know, I mean,
spoken like somebody that's looking for a new car, I guess.
No. Well, here's what we do: we ask our audience what they think, and they may see what you're saying, Lauren. Like, you're married, and you have children together, and you have finances together. And Seth, you can't just buy a new car without telling your wife. But they may see your side too. You work, and if you feel like this was a good decision, and you need to make a decision on the spot, you made a decision. You are a grown up; you're allowed to do that. You both agree to listen what our audience has to say.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999.
Your husband pulls in the driveway. You look out the window to greet him, and you say, wait a minute. He's driving a brand new car.
And it's nice.
How'd that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, he didn't talk to me, so he didn't have the permission, right? That's exactly what Lauren thinks, that, you know, if you're going to make a purchase like this, we need to have some sort of discussion. This one isn't even good for the kids. What if I need to borrow it? What? Right. What are you doing here?
And Seth's argument is, like, I stopped at the dealership on the way home. It was a really good deal, and I just did it. I just bought it. Like, I don't have to check with you every single time I make a decision like this.
The payment's actually lower, he says. I'm good.
Right. But that's the question. Before you make a purchase like a car, should you have to check with your significant other? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven, Couples Court.
I'm on his side, and I'll tell you why if you want to hear.
Go ahead.
All right. I was the same thing in a marriage and always had the crappy car. When they spilled milk in the back, I got the crappy car. Always put her in a good car. Sounds like she wasn't going to give him a new car. When I finally got divorced, I bought a new car every 2 years. My ex-wife was still screaming at me about getting a new car.
Right. And you feel great about it. No regrets. I hear you, bro.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Your husband pulls into the driveway. You're like, wait a minute. That's not my husband. Yes, it is. He's driving a new car. Seth went and bought a new car on his way home from work. It was such a good deal, and Lauren cannot believe he didn't even text her.
It's a little bit sportier. It's a little bit smaller. She says it's no good for the kids. He says, you always drive the kids in your car anyways. I saved money on this. What's the big deal? I don't need your permission.
Right, but does he? Should you buy something like a car without checking in with your significant other? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. They didn't me, so...
Show you right. He's a grown up.
Yes, exactly.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his. Tell him to go for it. Treat yourself.
I mean, he already did. So at this point, what do you tell her? I had to go for it. I had to treat myself.
I'm sorry?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Good. And on Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Oh, I am so on the wife's side. He knows that what he did was wrong, or he would have called her.
It is a major investment, obviously. And as a family, a married couple, typically you make those investments together. You make those decisions together. But, I mean, if your payment fits within a certain price range, does it make all that much difference if it's primarily your car and you don't do the switch-off thing?
Yes. And I think we're forgetting the major thing here, that buying a car is fun. And it's something fun you should do with your significant other.
Oh, so she didn't get to go for the fun part.
No.
And tell him what color he should get. And what his floor mat should look like, and whether or not he should get the spoiler. That sounds like a lot of fun for her.
That's the conversation that they're missing.
Yeah,
and
it
that's
sounds
like
no
the fun
for
part.
Him, though. No fun.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lauren, our audience agreed with you. Seth, you purposely didn't tell her. You admitted it. You said it was better to... I mean, you screwed it up, but you said...
But we got the gist.
We got the gist. You said it was better to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission. And that's not, like, how a good marriage works. It's about communication. So people felt you were in the wrong here.
Oh. The good news is all you have to do is just say you're sorry and apologize with some sort of sweet dinner or something like that. And maybe talk about a new car for her, it sounds like. But you get to keep
your
ride.
Yeah, maybe I'll take her out to dinner.
You get to keep your ride, so that's good.
Of course.
And Lauren, yeah, it's going to make you pretty pumped that you're right, right?
I mean, yeah, I knew I was right.
But
I knew
still
I was
didn't get
right.
Her a new
Who
car?
Does that? What kind of husband does that?
It's my car. It's, you know, it's not like I did it with your car.
You might be doing that next.
That's your defense?
Do you not, I mean,
what?
Hello, we're married. Isn't it our stuff?
Imagine he traded in her car and didn't tell her.
That would have been even more fun. But...
All right, you got a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is JJ.
Hey, JJ, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, will you please leave the room?
Sure, good luck, man.
All right. Raven's walking out of the studio. When that big door closes, JJ, he's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back in, and I'm going to ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. It's a tie. It goes to Raven. But if you can beat him, we're going to give you $100. You ready to play?
Absolutely.
Number 1, Caddyshack star Michael O'Keefe has volunteered to caddy for the U.S. Open. What kind of rodent damages the golf course in Caddyshack?
Gopher.
Number 2, Usher is doing a Las Vegas residency next year at Caesars. Usher is credited with helping to discover and catapult the career of what Canadian pop star?
Justin Bieber.
Number 3, Nike is selling Freddy Krueger-themed sneakers for Halloween. What original 1984 movie is Freddy Krueger from?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Number 4, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is officially coming to an end. They announced it on social media last night. Keeping Up has spawned many spinoffs, including one where Kourtney and Kim take over this city. Which city was it?
Los Angeles.
And number 5, actress Lily Allen married Stranger Things star David Harbour in a Las Vegas ceremony. What's David Harbour's character's name on Stranger Things?
Steve.
I mean, not a bad guess, I guess, right? Let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven.
Yo.
Okay, JJ got 3 out of 5.
That's pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Yeah, they were tricky questions. Number 1, Caddyshack star Michael O'Keefe has volunteered to caddy for the U.S. Open. What kind of rodent damages the golf course in Caddyshack?
It's a gopher.
That's right.
Gopher.
Number 2, Usher is doing a Las Vegas residency next year at Caesars. Usher is credited with helping to discover and catapult the career of what Canadian pop star?
The Biebs, of course. Yeah. Justin Bieber.
Number 3.
I mean, you can retire on that right alone.
Nike is selling Freddy Krueger-themed sneakers for Halloween.
They're ugly.
What original 1984 movie is Freddy Krueger from?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, you guys are tied at 3. I like those sneakers. I think they look cool.
I think those sneakers are terrible.
I like them.
They're ugly, man.
Number 4, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is officially coming to an end. They announced it last night on social media.
Sad day.
Keeping Up has spawned many spinoffs, including one where Kourtney and Kim take over this city. What city is it?
Well, I think they had a couple, right? I mean, they did, I thought, Miami and New York.
Give me a final answer.
I'll guess Miami.
Miami's wrong. Courtney and Chloe went to Miami.
Oh,
Courtney and Kim were in New York.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I try to ignore most of it.
Yep.
I'm sure New York felt great about it.
Number five, actress Lily Allen married Stranger Things star David Harbour in a Las Vegas ceremony.
Good for them.
What?
They're both weird.
What's David Harbour's character's name on Stranger Things?
Oh, God. He's,
It's one of those things that you know it's on the tip of your tongue, but it can't come out. I know.
It starts with an H. Oh, no. Oh, I'm so upset.
Jim Hopper.
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 Yeah.
He's alive, man. He's alive and in Russia for some reason.
Yeah, we don't know why, but we'll find out.
We're going to find out.
JJ, you guys tied at 3 today. What that does mean is Hopper. You get your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It sounds good. This is JJ, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, man. All right. Hopper.
Yeah. We're going to throw another $100 in the pot tomorrow. $200. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first two answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. Where's the Purell? It's time for the finger test. Where is it?
I don't know where.
It's always in here.
Got this fake Germex stuff.
Yeah, I'll take the Germex. That works. It's Anna and Raven.
You're going to use your knuckle, not your finger.
Fine, I'll use my knuckle. Okay. All right. Oh, no, I dropped it.
Well, you're lucky it didn't squirt on you. It probably, put a bleach spot on your clothes.
All right. So yesterday, right around this time, we were talking about it's time for back-to-school lunches. And my daughter made me buy her a thermos as if she was a construction worker because she told me that all the kids have thermoses now.
I thought thermoses were gone, man. But look at them making a comeback.
Right. And this thermos looks like, remember when we used to go to the bank? And I don't even know if they still do it anymore.
Right.
But, what the thing would suck and go... And you would put, the cash and the checks
inside. Your deposit
inside.
Slip in there?
Yeah, you would send it over. It'd
take an hour. They'd send something back.
Yep. This is what the thermos looks like. So I said, there's no way this thing actually keeps food hot for 7 hours. She wants me to put, quesadillas and chicken nuggies in here.
I mean, this is the craziest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
Where kids come up with that stuff? I don't know.
So throughout the morning, we've been monitoring whether or not this stays hot. And one of her favorite things to eat in this thermos, she says, even though she's never had it, is ramen noodles. I told her she could start on Monday, the ramen noodles. But
right. Today, we had to bring it into work
right.
for a radio bit. Sorry, kid. Today, you go hungry or it's all cold stuff.
At the end of the show, coming up right before 10 o'clock, Raven is going to...
Look at that fancy spoon sits right on the front.
It has
there.
A spoon that comes with it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're just going to stick a knuckle.
So I'm going to stick a knuckle right
in. Don't put a finger in it because I'm not going to taste it after you put fingers in there.
I'm going to smell it. Smell this. Come
it doesn't
smell
look
this.
Like there's enough.
Come smell it. Hold on. Let me come around. Let me come around with the mic.
All right.
I mean, I filled it up to capacity.
It's early.
Smell the ramen.
Oh.
Why does it smell like that?
I don't know. This
thermos
milk. It's been cooking in that thermos for a while. It doesn't seem steamy.
All right.
I don't know if it's going to be hot, but right. maybe a little bit warm.
I'm going to put my knuckle in. Oh, it feels hot. It feels hot. It might be working.
The more I look at you putting your hand in there, I just wonder why we didn't send you to wash your hands before this conversation.
I was busy.
Why did we go with just sanitizer on this?
All right. We're going to see.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is a thing and all the kids are going to be using them at school for school lunches, I feel like as a parent, we should be doing the social experiment to see if it really works or not.
So glad that I was elected to stick it in my mouth.
You're welcome. We'll find out how it is. It's coming up right before 10 with Anna and Raven. It all comes down to this, Raven.
Mm.
Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. Throughout the show this morning, starting at 5:30, we talked about the thermos. Now, my daughter Hayden told me that all the kids at school bring thermoses now.
Who would have thought that the thermos is back?
Yeah, it's like construction workers, but they're kids.
I remember we were issued thermoses as kids back in my day, but then we shunned those. When you got to preteen and they had some sort of lunch break, as soon as they get the little donuts in the calf, mom, I'm not taking a thermos.
She insists that kids put things like quesadillas, chicken nuggets, ramen, noodle soup.
Seems weird.
Yeah, she says that's what everybody eats now, and because a lot of the cafeterias are closed, including hers, that they have to bring lunch every day.
It's the heyday of the thermos.
Yeah. So this morning at 4 o'clock, I made this ramen noodles and I put it in the thermos. Now, here we are. It's almost 10 a.m. and I'm going to let you, Raven, taste it to see if it's still hot. Because
that's really the question.
5 hours. Yeah. 5 hours later. Is it hot and is it delicious?
It's true. When I see a guy on construction work break at I don't know, anytime past 11, I figure he's drinking cold coffee for lunch. That's what I figure.
Let's see. Show the camera first. Does that steam?
Not really, but I can feel some heat coming out of it.
All right, go ahead, eat it.
It is a little stinky.
I mean,
ramen noodles should not incubate for that long.
5 hours.
I hope you washed the spoon.
Yeah, I mean, I washed it last night.
Okay. There you go. Well, it's a terrible spoon.
Is it hot? Is the thermos still work? Have they improved the technology on thermos?
It's like lukewarm.
Lukewarm?
Yeah. Maybe it's hotter in the bottom. Hold on.
Well, what I noticed is all that, like, a lot of the liquid is gone, and I filled it up like you're supposed to.
It's a little bit warmer the lower you get.
Oh, mix it up. Mix it.
I mean,
like, would you consider that a delicious lunch if you were in sixth grade?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, you have to put yourself in sixth grade and then consider your other options.
She told me that having the ramen noodles is better than a turkey sandwich.
As an adult, I feel like if I snuck one of these in prison, like, that's a win, you know? But
if you weren't in prison, you wouldn't want that. But you're still eating it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat anything. It is a little bit warmer the lower I get.